Good morning, church. Praise God. Just getting my things together here. All right. So what an incredible service. What an incredible morning from the ministry that's already come forth. Everything just filling God's spirit in this place. It's Christmas. We're here to honor God, glorify him. Thank you for your son who died on the cross for us. We're just so present that this is when we're celebrating his birth, his life, and everything that he represents. So I'm honored and grateful to be up here today. When Pastor told me on the 22nd, on Christmas Sunday, okay, all right, I just went to God. I said, what would you have for your people? What do you have for your people? So before we jump into the word, we want to take a moment and just start in prayer and just thank God. Dear God, I just thank you, Lord God. I worship you on today, Lord God. I thank you for being with us in this moment and every day of our lives, 365 days, Lord God, that you're with us in every moment, whether we're awake or whether we're asleep, Lord God, you are there, ever present. You will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord God. And I worship you and I praise you. And I ask that you would just decrease me, Lord God, that you would fill me, Lord God, with your words for your people, Lord God, for this moment, for this day, for their hearts, Lord God, that somebody would hear a word that will attract them and draw them to you, Lord God, that they will see the light of you, Lord God, that their heart will say, what must I do to be saved? How can I know this Jesus that they speak about, Lord God? So I ask that you will come and fill me, Lord God. Fill me with your word, Lord God. Speak through me, Lord God. I humble myself before you, Lord God. It is your word that we are here to hear, Lord God. It is your word that transforms, Lord God. It's your word that breaks and sets us free, Lord God. It's your word that heals, Lord God. It's your word that saves, Lord God. It's your word. Yes, God. So I thank you, Lord God, for your word. I ask that you will help us to be hearers and doers of your word, Lord God, of your holy word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Okay. All right. So we got the button clicker. Okay. Today, again, I just praise God. I just give honor to God. I give honor to our pastor and just us as a body, how we come together and honor God. Again, when Pastor gave me the 22nd, I said, woo, all right, this is going to be a good word, God. I know you got something amazing for your people, because this is such a precious time. How many know that you just take it serious? I take God serious. I take his word serious. I take his son serious. So anytime that I'm here, it's serious. I said, God, what would you have for your people? And he said, tell them about my son. Tell them about my son. Tell them who he is and what he died for them to have. Tell them that he is true peace, all peace, and the only peace. In the storm, in the mountain, in the valley, wherever you find yourself and whenever you find yourself, he is peace, and he's with you. So today's message is peace through the process, the master plan. The foundational scriptures that we're going to be coming from today is John 14 and 27 and Romans 8 and 28. John 14, 27, I'm going to read, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things, come on, all things work together for good to those who love God. Who loves God? Yeah. Amen. All right. And who are called according to his purpose. Amen. And so we've been going through the series, Family Secrets. Woo, this is good, right? Pastor's been teaching. And it's amazing to me how God is just, he's just who he is. Nothing is done haphazardly. Everything is planned down to the detail. And it's just so incredible how so much interjects with what he gave and just coincides with where we are as a body. Amen? And so today, some of our learning objectives are that we're going to discuss the peace that Jesus intends for us to have, to walk in, regardless of what's going on. It's the peace through the process, not at the end of the process, right? When the sun is shining and you're good and everything is great, now you're celebrating your peace. It's in it. It's when it hurts. It's when you can't see the light. You can't see, but peace anyway. And that comes, we'll get into that, but we're going to talk about that peace. And then we're going to look at the biblical example in Joseph. We're going to discuss what it looks like to maintain peace of God in spite of trying circumstances. We're going to learn that the thing that the enemy intended to break you, God will use for your good and the good of others. And through Jesus, precious Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we have access to perfect peace. But it's a personal decision to take possession of that, to walk in that, to accept that. So let me see. Let me make sure I'm not jumping ahead. And one of our questions, one of our questions for today that we're going to ask ourselves as we're listening to the word, as we're sitting in this room, we want to be present to the Holy Spirit. We want to hear God speak to you. You want to get the word that he has for you. That's going to change your life. That's going to transform you. So do you, I understand the peace that I, make it personal, have access to through Jesus Christ? And am I walking in that? I put a little extra. Just, am I walking in that? Why are we having that conversation about what is peace? Because in this day and age, look around, we see so many people suffering. So many believers suffering with depression, with suicide, hopelessness, anger, bitterness. Violence is on the rise. Somebody cut somebody off in traffic, 0 to 100, right? We're just ready. But that's not what God's plan is for our lives. It's not for us to walk around just easily offended, just ready to flip. Who are we representing inside of that? How is God being glorified if we're on edge, right? And so we're looking at that. Many people are feeling a void in their lives, and I know it was mentioned, many people have lost people. This can be a hard time, not lessening any of that. Even in that, God is your peace. God will keep you. God will comfort you. These are things that I know, okay? These are things that I know. So a lot of times when we fill those voids, people start to try to fill it with the world. With the world. Looking in for love in all the wrong places, trying to find peace, or not even looking for peace, just want to numb themselves. I don't want to feel anything. I'm going to have alcohol, I'm going to have drugs, sex, food, television, work. We put all these things in the place of God because I'd rather not feel. If I work 20 hours a day, I don't have to think about this thing. I don't have to feel this thing. I don't have to deal with this thing because I'm at work. But God knows. God knows what you're dealing with or what you're not dealing with. Amen? And so people get into a place where they're on a constant quest for space fillers, for distractions. When God would have us to be so focused on him, nothing can distract us. We're looking for a distraction. Instead of seeking him, drawing closer to him, consecrating ourselves, tucking ourselves away in our prayer closet, we rather be distracted. I'd rather, what do you call it, record the stuff on TV and just watch the whole thing? What is it when you watch like four? Binge! Binge watch the whole thing, right? But don't have time to read, don't have time to pray, watch 42 hours of whatever the episode was. Help us, God. So people are seeking after their next high more than after the Most High. People are seeking after their next high more than after the Most High, God of Christ. Pictures are up here for us to think about. are we looking for happiness in the world? Ice cream, make you happy. Yeah. Hugs, the 3-minute rule, makes us happy. Feels good, right? Money. If I start just handing out hundreds right now, I bet you everybody's like, woo, happy, instantly. But then when you walk out the door and I collect them all back, happiness, gone, right? Gone. You were spending it before you even walked out the door. You knew what you were going to get with that hundred. Nope, give it back. But see, that's the world. If your happiness is in these things, if the world gives it to you, the world can take it away. It's going to cost you something that you're not willing to pay. Okay? So peace, oh, okay, and back to happiness, it's temporary. It's fleeting. That's why you're always chasing something, because it's always out of grasp. Right? When you're looking for what the world has to offer, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never completely get there. He'll never quite love you enough. She'll never quite be who you want her to be, because you're looking for something in the world. That's happiness versus peace. We go back to our scripture. He said, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives. It's different. It's permanent. It's a state of being. It's not predicated on external stimuli. What does that mean, Cree? Okay, I'm glad you asked. It means it's not based on circumstances. It's not based on anything outside of you, because Jesus put that peace so deep in you, it doesn't matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter who said what to me, who did what to me, I have my peace. It's constant. Not as the world gives. Let's look at how the world gives, because the world will give you some stuff too. They want it back, right? There's going to be some conditions on it. It's temporary. It's fleeting. It comes and goes based on the external. It's wrapped around pleasing man. You're wanting to get value from acceptance of others. So you're doing things that's contrary to your nature, contrary to your faith, so somebody can say they accept you. We live in a likes culture. Do it for the gram. Don't matter what you're doing, what you're wearing, who it offends, who it upsets, how many likes did I get? Keeping up with the Joneses. People will sell their own anything for a dollar. Accumulating things, it will cause you to compromise yourself chasing happiness in the world. We talked about the void fillers. You'll never be satisfied. And it also comes with a high cost of guilt. A lot of people are carrying around guilt with a smile on their face. Their heart is broken on the inside. They can't sleep at night. They can't look at themselves in the mirror, but they're smiling in the selfie. Guilt from compromised convictions out here trying to keep the peace, chase the happiness, the external, from the world. The peace that he gives. This is a no matter what is going on around me kind of peace. This is the, it doesn't matter who did it, who said it, what's happening, I still have peace. You know why? Because you can't take my peace. You can't break my peace, because you didn't make my peace. You didn't put this deep inside me. You didn't die on the cross so that I could live an abundant life and I could be free. So you can't affect me the way you think you can. It might hurt. It might hurt. I'm human. I might cry. I might shed some tears. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be all right. Because I know who my Father is. I know that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It surpasses understanding. It means even if you never know why, you still have peace. You don't have to understand. I may never understand, but I trust you, God. I may never understand, but I'm going to sleep at night. safe in your arms, understanding that you have a plan for my life. Isaiah 26 and 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Do we trust him? Do we trust him? Let me talk about trust. Trust equals relationship. Okay? When you're in a, let's talk about this one first, a relationship without trust. You might have been in one of those. You might be in one now, but okay. God is talking to you, all right? In a relationship without trust, you might find yourself doing crazy things. You get outside yourself. You're not acting like yourself because you don't have peace, because you don't have trust. You can't sleep at night. You're wondering where he is, where she is, what's going on. You're checking phones. The phone is sitting next to you, and you, Inspector Gadget, going crazy, trying to find something, trying to figure it out. Can't sleep at night, tossing and turning. Because when there's no trust, there's no peace. So we say that we trust God. Let's look at the relationship. Do you have peace? When you have peace and you are in a trusting relationship, you don't have a care in the world. You walk different. You talk different. It doesn't even matter if things are going wrong. That's all right because he got me. Because I know his character. I don't care if it looks bad right now. Oh, he's late coming home. It must be traffic. Let me make dinner. You're not searching no emails. You're not unable to sleep at night because you know his character and you trust him. We're going to go to Acts 12 and 6 really quick. We're going to go to Acts 12 and 6 really quickly. Because when you are in a trusting relationship, you look like Peter. Peter in Acts 12 and 6. I'm going to read this. Now about the time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. So he's harassing the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now we're talking about trust as we're reading. We're talking about relationship as we're reading. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to the God whom he trusts for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was stressed, crying, tossing and turning, feeling sorry for himself, wondering how in the world was he ever going to make it, ready to just give up and throw in the towel. Oh, Peter was what? Sleeping. Sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So we're talking about peace in the process. Not peace when you're out the prison. You're out, somebody, you know, life is good, you're cleared. No. You're asleep in prison. Imprisoned by a king who just killed somebody with a sword, bound, and you're asleep because you trust God, because you know that he is a way maker, because you know that he's made a way out of no way before, and he'll do it again. So you're asleep. Now, while you're asleep, God is fighting your battles. You can sleep when you know it's not for you to fight. You lose every time if it's up to you. So that's where that peace and that trust comes from, because we get to understand that God is fighting your battles. It's spiritual. So while he slept, verse 7, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. Hallelujah. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we all have access to. That's the peace that we all have access to. If you're going to lose sleep praising God. Lose sleep worshiping God. Lose sleep in his word, strengthening your spirit and building up your trust, getting to know him more so that you can have more trust in your heart and you can operate with peace. Okay, so that was the introduction. Now we're going to get in. We're going to go in. We're going to look at Joseph. We're going to turn to Genesis 37. My husband volunteered wonderfully to read for us. But before he does, just a couple more things on peace while you guys are turning. Again, it's in the trust that we have in God. So when you find yourself in that place, ask yourself, how many times has he shown himself faithful to you? Speak over your own life and remind yourself when he broke the chains, when you were in prison, how he set you free. He made a way for you. And again, when you're talking about relationship, he's the only one without blemish. He's the only one that is perfect, that is pure, that has never failed you. Do we know the plans that he has for us and the thoughts that he thinks towards us? These are thoughts of peace, not evil. To give us a hope and a future, and Jesus came for that, for you, for each and every single one of us in this room, if we choose him, to accept him. So we're going to look at Joseph and this incredible example that he has for us, and we're going to start with Genesis 37, 3 through 8.
Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But then when his brothers saw that his father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers that he hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves were stood around and bowed down my sheaf." And his brother said to him, "Shall indeed reign over us, or shall indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words.
Amen. Thank you. Looking at this, see yourself. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, when you look at this, Joseph's brothers hated him. Hated him. Maybe your brothers don't hate you, but maybe you've experienced rejection in your life. Maybe you've experienced jealousy in your life. It doesn't feel good. When someone who you expect to love you rejects you, and beyond rejects you, hates you. That's a deep level of rejection. It's one thing just to don't want to have anything to do with me. It's a whole another thing to hate me. They did not believe in him or his dreams. Dream killers. You may have a dream that God's placed in your heart. You got to protect that thing. It's not meant for everybody. Not everybody's going to understand it. And there's people that will ridicule your dream. That will tear your dream down, tell you you'll never happen. That's crazy. You're insane. Ridicule, laugh at you. And it might be the people closest to you. Your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your father. They ridiculed him. What is that? Let's make it plain. That's verbal abuse. Maybe you suffered in a household of verbal abuse, constant criticism. Nobody ever spoke a loving word to you in your entire life. It continued. I won't read it all, but I'm going to read some. 37, we continue to verse 19. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming." See how they try to talk about you? Look, this dreamer. But look how you can spin it. Yeah, I'm a dreamer. You own that. You own who God made you to be. You might say it like it's a joke, but you'll see who's laughing. We'll see who's laughing. "Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into a pit." Not only do they hate him, they're going to kill him. Rid of him. Be done with him. Thankfully, the plan changed. They took him and they cast him into a pit, verse 24. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it, verse 25. Then they sat down to eat a meal. People will do you wrong and keep it moving. Verse 31. They took Joseph's tunic, killed a goat, dipped it in the blood, took it home to their father, told him it was Joseph. So you mean they lied on him? Oh, so people will lie on us? It's not easy. It's not easy. And a part of it is pride. Don't let anybody say something about you. Woo, that pride. You thought you had it handled. You thought you had it under control until somebody says something about you. You're losing sleep. For what? Let them talk. They talked about Joseph. They talked about Jesus. You in good company if they're talking about you. Genesis 39. Now, I'm going to skip a little bit. We're going to go back to it because right now we want to stay in where Joseph is, the things that are happening to him. Okay? So now, as he was sold into slavery, it came to pass that he's in his master's house. And I'll go ahead and let you pick up. We're going to do Genesis 39, 7 to 10, and 17 to 20.
And it came to pass, after these things, that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me.
So wait now. His master's wife is inviting him to lie with her. So wait now. Many suffering rejection, who've been through some things, who are hurt, oh, they'll accept an invitation. Any invitation. It doesn't matter that this is somebody's wife, much less my master's wife. They're willing to hold me. Oh, they love me. They want me. Here I am. But let's look at Joseph, verse 8.
But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not want, not what is with
not know what
does
is
not
with
know
me.
What is with me in the house. And he has committed all that he has in his mind. There is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are his wife. How then can I do his great wickedness? This great wickedness and sin against God.
Look at what Joseph is at. It's not about her. It's not about him. It's not about his pain. It's not about his hurt. It's not about how many times he was rejected. It's about the God that he serves. In the process, he still has peace to serve God and give God the glory. So now where are we at? We're in verse 9? 10. Okay, 10, please.
So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her.
Thank you. Look at Joseph. So many people operating out of pain and rejection would have taken that invitation. Many in this room may have already taken the invitation, may have already said, I'm willing to do this because I want to feel better. And maybe this will make me feel better. It won't. It didn't. Only God can fill that void. Period. But the pain of rejection will have you ready to mark yourself down. Put yourself on the clearance section. Having somebody that doesn't see your worth, doesn't know your worth, doesn't know the God that created you, of course they don't know the price. But you do. God has you in the box with the valuables, in the back room, in the safe. You got to have a key to get in there. Don't ever put yourself on that clearance rack. Don't ever mark yourself down for anything or anyone. Understand, even in your hurt and in your pain, some part of you deep on the inside has to have that desire to glorify God regardless. God will have the glory in my life. Just like Joseph. What happened to him was not who he was. Many times we have to get to a place where we just get fed up. Sometimes we got to get fed up with ourselves. What they did to you is bad enough. But you're going to hurt you too? You're going to add pain and misery on top of pain and misery? There's a better way. When you look at Genesis 37 and 25, we're going back. After they threw him in the pit, they sat down to eat a meal? I'm in the pit? And y'all at Red Lobster? Oh, surely no. Surely no. But in those moments, we'll hurt ourselves. We'll make it worse. Now we're out here subjecting our body to things. We're left with guilt. We're left with shame. We're left with all these things because we're out here making it worse, hurting ourselves on top of the hurt that they did, and they're out there living their best life. At some point, you got to get fed up and say, enough is enough. I'm not going to be the victim any longer. People out here living their best life because they did something to me 15 years ago, 5 years ago, or 10 minutes ago. Except that God has already sent his son to pay the price for you to be free. To be free. Oh, I went to 9. Okay, so 9. When we're looking at Genesis 39 and 3, this is what I went past just briefly because now we're going to look at how the Lord was with him. This is why he had peace. This is why, even in the midst of the process, I'm going to glorify you. Genesis 39 and 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. God is trying to prosper you even in the process. But if you're wallowing in self-pity, if you can't see through the pain enough to trust God, what can he do with you? We got to be willing because Joseph could have been somewhere crying. Joseph could have been somewhere in misery. Joseph could have been doing a lot of things, but he was still serving God. And his master saw, so Joseph found favor in his sight. Can we dig deep enough to say, I want to find favor in your sight, Lord? Even though this thing is heavy, even though it hurt, I want to find favor in your sight. Is that your prayer? Or are we so self-consumed that when we hurt, we don't think about God anymore? It's just about us and what we're going through. So it was from that time that he made him overseer of the house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. In the midst of it, a whole household is being blessed because of my faithfulness in my pain. In my pain. When I lost my mother and I lost my brother, there was a friend that I had, and I thank God for her. She wasn't even a believer at that time. She was there for me. She would send me messages every day, and we would just kind of talk and email and just check on my heart. And one thing she said to me, she said, I don't even understand how you can still praise your God with everything that you're going through. And it hit my heart so deep in my heart because at the time, I wasn't even thinking about that. I wasn't thinking about it from that perspective. But here, God was using what I was going through to minister to her, to show her what it looks like to have faith in spite of, to still love God in spite of, that everything could be going wrong. My heart is broken into 1,000 pieces, but God. But God. So inside of that, we're looking at Genesis 41. It's about to get real good, guys. It's getting real good. 41, 44 to 52. Let me, 41. Oh, thank you. I love you. 41 and 44. Actually, I'm going to go up to 42. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot, which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt, over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him a wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out all over the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh of Egypt. So this is a 13 years that he was going through the process. 13 years that he had peace through the process. And some of us can't make it 13 minutes. Let it go wrong for 13 minutes, self-included, because God was showing me some things when he was talking to me. I said, okay, God, I hear you. And so we're looking at this. It says, he was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out. And think about that, too. Everything he was going through at 17, at 20, at 21, at 25. Some of us young people in the room, you think it's okay to wait until you're 30, 40, 50, 60, and then you're going to start serving God? And then you're going to be great for God? I challenge us as young people in the room, the youngest person, a child, a teenager, young adult, it's now. It's now. While you're in your prime, it's now that you need to be out here being great for God, studying, worshiping, praising, and being the greatest that you can be now. Now, because tomorrow's not even promised. This is a 17-year-old, 20-year-old. We should be leading everything in the church. The youngest person. Everybody else, they've done their work. That's not the message. That's just, all right. So, Genesis 45. Wait. Nope. 41, 44. Now, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. So now, Genesis 41, 51. Joseph was born two sons. He called the name of the firstborn. This was so good to me. Manasseh. For God has made me forget all my trouble in my father's household. Talk about peace. Talk about peace. The peace that'll make you forget about it. Now you at Red Lobster. You don't have a care in the world. You're doing your thing. You're living your life because that's what Jesus died for you to have, is an abundant life. Verse 52, in the name of the second he called Ephraim. For what? God has caused me to be fruitful. Where? Of my affliction. In the land of my suffering, he caused me to be fruitful? Do you see what he will do for you? It doesn't matter what it looks like. Even if it hurts, you can still be fruitful. Even with that pain, you can still be fruitful through the process. All right, you guys, I don't know if y'all ready for this. Genesis 45, verses 4 through 8. And I'll read. Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph. Do y'all know they didn't even recognize him? Let that sit with you for a minute. They didn't even recognize him because they threw him in a pit and forgot about him. Can you imagine their shock? Oh, so the little dreamer and his little dreams. Look at me now. And now, look at Joseph. What did he say to them? Did he return evil for evil? Was he mad? Was he bitter? If he would have been mad and bitter, he wouldn't even got to this point, first of all. Because that anger and that bitterness would have already ate him up. Destroyed him completely. Instead, he said, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. Because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. It was not you that sent me here. Whatever you think you did to me, you didn't even do. Don't give the problems in your life more power than you give God in your life. It was not you who sent me here. God has a master plan for your life. It was not them who sent you here. Where even is here? Here is where God has planned for you to be. You cannot get in position if you're sad, solemn, you're letting it eat you up. You're living in that place. You can feel sad. You don't live in sadness. You have peace. You have purpose. There's purpose even in your pain. What Satan meant to break you, God will use to make you if you let him. God will use it to make you if you let him. Where did we start? And we know that all things work together for good. And the first part of it is, and we know. Do you know? Do you know? Because when you know, you'll walk in it. And until you know, you won't. We know that all things work together for good. When we know that, we get to understand that, therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not quit. We do not throw in the towel. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. It's spiritual. How many opportunities do we see in Joseph to give up? So many. Some of us would give up as soon as we got thrown in the well. Woo, it's over. It's over. Might have just quit on the way down. Boom, hit the ground, it's over. I'm just done. Throw in the towel. How many of us would have got mad? Just got angry. Mad at the world. Mad at my father for sending me out here to even come look for these brothers that he knows that hates me. Mad at my brothers for hating me. Mad at God for putting me in this family with all these crazy people. Right? If at any point he would have chosen anger over peace, he would never have seen the success that he saw. He would never have seen all of the incredible things that God had planned for him to do and to be. He would have gotten his own way, held his own self back, imprisoned himself in a prison far worse than the ones that they had for him. Back to my story in my life. When we lost our mother, my brother was very angry. We lost her very young. I was 17. He was 12. He was very angry. Started getting in fights. Your anger, that's a weight that you're carrying. That's prison. Because the world, whatever you think the world owes you, you're not going to get it. They're not going to pay you back. And if you keep carrying this anger like this, it's going to eat you up. It is going to eat you up. I had conversations with my brother, and I thank God that he came to know his peace. I thank God that he came to know him because it completely transformed his life. Instead of carrying around this bitter anger, you can live. You can live. You can glorify God. You can know peace, even in the process, even in the pain. Self-made prison looks like self-pity, hate, resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness. All of those are self-made prisons. What they did to you is one thing, but what you're going to keep doing to yourself, that's a whole nother thing. What are you holding on to today that is keeping you in prison? Who or what do you need to forgive? Is it yourself? Is it God? Is it someone else? Maybe all three. I have a little story for us, a little illustration about the duck and the devil. This blessed me, so I wanted to share. There was a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. He was given a slingshot to play with out in the woods. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit the target. Getting a little discouraged, he headed back for dinner, and as he was walking back, he saw grandma's pet duck. Just out of impulse, he let the slingshot fly. Hit the duck. Square in the head. Killed it. This is my grandmother's duck. He's shocked. He's grieving. In a panic, he hid the dead body in the wood pile, only to see his sister watching. Busted. Sally had seen it all, but she didn't say anything. Know why? She had a plan for him. She was going to use that against him. After lunch the next day, Grandma said, Sally, let's wash the dishes. But Sally said, Grandma, Johnny told me he wants to clean the kitchen. And then she looked at him. Y'all know. You want me to tell? So she whispered to him, remember the duck? Johnny did the dishes. Later that day, Grandpa asked the children wanted to go fishing. And Grandma said, I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper. But Sally just smiled and said, that's all right. Johnny's going to help you make dinner. Sally whispered again, remember the duck. So Sally went fishing and Johnny stayed to help. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, he couldn't stand it any longer. Remember I said about getting fed up? It's one thing for them to do something to you. You don't keep doing it to yourself. He came to Grandma and he confessed, repent, y'all with me, that he had killed the duck. Grandma knelt down, gave him a hug, sweet forgiveness, and said, sweetheart, I already know. You see, I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. But because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering, how long would you let Sally, make a slave of you? How long will we let Satan make a slave of us? Repentance and forgiveness equals freedom from the weights. When we looked at Joseph, his life shows us so much about how to keep the peace in all things. Personal relationship and prayer. Joseph heard God. Joseph knew that God was with him. Obedience. Faith without works is dead. You got to do your part. Trust. Trusting God's plan for your life is for your good. Will change everything. Forgiveness. Leave Satan powerless over you. Yeah. Forgiving others, forgiving yourself, forgiving God, and receiving God's forgiveness for you. How dare we have a Lord and Savior that would die on the cross for us to wipe us clean and not receive that forgiveness? The price has already been paid. In closing here, if just one of Joseph's misfortunes had been omitted, meaning didn't happen, his good fortune would have never come. If he wouldn't have been thrown in a well, the end wouldn't have been the end. It wouldn't have happened. So despise what's happening in your life. Have wisdom, have maturity to understand that it's part of the master plan. Even though it hurts right now, it's part of the master plan. If he had not been sold, if he had not been in prison, he would have never ruled Egypt. But it wasn't just that he was sold. It wasn't just that he was imprisoned. It was that he chose to grow through those things, go through those things, and glorify God through those things. We cannot afford to lose one of our sorrows or our trials because we won't be or do what God created us to be and to do. There is purpose in our pain. Jesus is the ultimate example. Jesus demonstrates a similar parallel. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. When they crucified him on the cross, little did they know. Little did they know whose he was. They didn't know the master plan. They in the master's plan. What you mean for harm is going to turn to good. He had to be buried so he could rise on the third day. Whatever happened to you, it wasn't to break you, but so you can rise, so God can lift you up, so you can overcome, so you can bless others and even those who meant to harm you. Most of us, this is the last thought that I want to leave you with. Most of us who are suffering from a lack of peace, why we don't have peace in the process is because deep in our hearts, we don't want to go through it, period. Period. We don't want to go through it. But let's look at Jesus. Let's always look at Jesus, right? Let's always keep our eyes stayed on him. So let's look at Jesus in Matthew 26 and 39. It starts with Jesus. It's always about Jesus. It's going in with Jesus. He wins. It's amazing. Here we are, 26, 39. This is when Jesus is in the garden before he's crucified. He's praying. He's crying out to God. This is hard. Harder than probably he even expected it to be. So in his prayer, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." The problem is, many of us stop our prayer right there. Let this cup pass from me. But not Jesus. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Most of us stop at let this cup pass from me because it's from a selfish place. It's from a place of I don't want to feel the pain. It doesn't matter why. It doesn't matter what your plan is, God. It hurts. It's too much for me. Not me. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to face it. I'm not. So most of us stop there. Let the cup pass me by. It's not about your glory. It hurts. We put aside ourselves. We got to put aside our hurts. Are you willing to continue the prayer? Yet, not my will. Meaning, I trust your will for my life. Even if I never fully understand why, I trust you, God. You are the author and the finisher of my life. If I had to be buried deep, because that's the only way I could come out, the only way I could survive would be through your grace and your mercy, then bury me deep. As you will, Lord. Lift me up, God. Pull me out and be glorified in my life. If I had to experience that hurt so I could learn what it means to forgive and to receive your forgiveness, as you will, Lord. If I had to be abandoned so I could know the fullness of your love for me, so I could know you as my Father and my Comforter, then as you will, Lord, abandon me. Whatever I got to go through, so it can bring you glory, I will go through. Just help me to keep my peace, God. Help us to trust your master plan, because the plan has always and forever will be Jesus.